Okay, we studied about how the Word of God is something that gives us light. They are wonderful, and it is as we discover things from the Word of God that it gives us wisdom that we need. It can make the naive, the simple, wise. Right? And then we can find that as we understand these things, there comes a deeper sense of longing for the Word of God. Light helps us to see the need for guidance from God and His Word, right? And then along the way, we can learn to be a bit more gracious towards others, even the wicked, okay? And so, despite all these things, we continue to see the three main things. One, we see an incomplete understanding, right? And I think all of us, we continue to have an incomplete understanding of many things in life, and especially concerning the Word of God. Right, there are things in our life that we still need to cleanse. Okay, we've been studying the scriptures. Some of you have been Christian for many years now. And yet, there are still sins, there are still problem areas in our life that we have not fully dealt with. And we still continue to need the Lord to cleanse us. We continue to struggle along the way to be that servant of God. For some of us, we have not even started serving God beyond a certain level. And so these are things that the psalmist struggled with again and again and again. And these are things that we must address again and again and again. And it's something that we will have to consider. So we all talk about blessing. So we begin with the idea of blessing. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walks in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also don't know iniquity. They walk in His ways. Everybody wants to be blessed, right? Who don't want to be blessed, right? I'm sure all of us want to be blessed, but to be blessed, we also need to be that person who is undefiled, who keeps His word. And that's the hard part. Okay, so that's the discouraging part. That's the challenging part. That's the not so good part, right? The good part is God bless me, Lord, but then to get there is not the easy part. And so that's what Psalm 119 is about. Okay? And we find that, you know, he wants to be better. He wants to have a better approach towards life. He wants to have, he wants to be better as a Christian, but he finds it hard to be better. Right? Instead, he's bettered along the way. Yeah, Pastor Mark likes to do that, so. Yeah, I learned from him. Blame him, okay? Even after more knowledge and responses, the fact is that he's still struggling. Okay, now we come to the next section, which is quite interesting. Okay, and in the next section, we see how the idea of God being righteous and the Word of God being righteous comes up again and again. Right? You don't see this happening a lot. Right? It's always about him. But in this section, of course, this section is also about him. We will still see what he's up to. But in this section, you see the idea of God righteousness coming true. We see the Word of God being explained as one that is righteous and very faithful. So in Psalm 139 and 138, it says, "Righteous are you, O Lord, upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful." Okay, first question that I'm going to raise up. Okay, what's the difference between righteous and upright? Huh. Right, he says your judgments are up. Your upright are your judgments, so judgments are upright. Your testimonies are righteous. What's the difference? Huh. Never thought about that, right? What's the difference? What's the difference between righteous and upright? Let's define it. Righteous, upright. What's the difference? Is there a difference? I love this kind of question. Okay, who says the same thing? It's the same, Pastor Mitch. Both right. You see, there's a right here, and there's a right here. So they're right. Am I right? Okay. It's the same thing. Is it? Or is it different? What do you think? Okay, all those who study English. Anybody study English here? Okay, Elizabeth. What's the difference? Gabby, play you up. A non-person? You upright are your judgments, okay? Okay. So later on also he talks about, so you are saying that upright doesn't refer to a person. Is that what you're saying? Okay, wrong. Because Job say, God say that this is a man who is upright. Ah, sorry. So why? Why is upright? What's the difference? Who else study English? In the army, when you are, you know, English speaking, they say you jiak geng tang. I don't understand why. Why do they say that? Eat potato. Oh, wow, you all be in the army. Better than me. Every time you see jiak geng tang, why you talk like that? After a while, I talk like them. Okay. So Chinese is what? Jiak. Cha siu jiak peng. Okay, jiak peng. Okay, anybody? Come, let's try. Let's give it a try. Doctor, what do you think? No more cadet, really? Okay, why? That's why we're asking. Why? Come on, let's try. Anybody, don't worry. I'm not going to embarrass you. You embarrass yourself. It's okay, don't worry. Come on, let's try. Don't worry. We all kaki lang. Right? You know what's kaki lang? Kaki lang means? 这几人. 对. Okay. Alright. It's okay. What's the difference? Upright and righteousness. Okay, let's begin with righteousness. God is righteous means what? Okay, means what? When you say that God is righteous, it means something. Sorry? Upholds the law. Okay, let's not talk about the expression yet. Let's talk about the idea. It is his quality, character, nature. All this means... It means intrinsic. Okay, intrinsic means this is then internal I mean, we don't use born with because that's him. It's an intrinsic value concerning who God is. God is righteous. Okay? It's his character. It is a prominent feature of his life, of who he is as a being. Okay? Now, what is upright? What is upright? So when we say that God's word is upright, so God is righteous, and then his word is righteous, his word is upright, how do we see the nuance? Okay, good. How? How would you see that? Okay, good. Well done. Okay, let me try to explain this. Okay, righteousness is the idea of who God is, and because of who God is, his word is also intrinsically righteous. Righteous means it is right, there's no wrong. It is, you can also say that it is good, it is morally righteous, and so on and so forth. So this is the nature of the Word of God. Uprightness is very often something that you cannot see straight away. Okay, you cannot say, okay, God's word is righteous. I can also understand that it's upright. Sometimes uprightness takes time to see, which comes to the idea of its application. In other words, uprightness, you will see how wonderful, how honorable, how morally upright the Word of God is as you experience it, as you go apply it, as you go through life. You will see the uprightness of His Word. Can you see that? Can you? Okay, let me try to explain that again. Okay, let's take the context of what he's trying. Let's go to Psalm 119. Okay, let me confuse you a bit more with another question. Okay, I love confusing people. In verse, okay, Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, we see this part where he says, "My zeal has consumed me because of my enemies. Because my enemies have forgotten your word." Right? So the psalmist appreciates the Lord, his words further. There's a greater sense of zeal. Okay, my question is, next question. Is this zeal that he has good or bad? Good or bad? His zeal, my zeal has consumed me because of my enemies have forgotten your words. Is it good or bad? Bad. Okay, how many of you say it's bad? How many of you say it's good? Okay. Why good? Okay. Okay, so zeal many of us, when we have zeal, right? Okay, here he sees the unrighteous, the his enemies. Most probably these enemies used to be people who remembered God's word, who kept God's word. But then along the way, they forgot about God's word. They went the wrong way, right? And when that happened, there came a sense of zeal. Okay, is that good or is that bad? My zeal has consumed me. Okay, let's read the whole thing. It goes on to say, "Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." Okay. Coming back to the second question. Is it good or is it bad? You say it's good. Okay, in other words, what has happened? Is zeal itself bad? No. Okay? But when we allow zeal to be applied wrongly, that's bad. Okay? Okay, let me try to explain. Many of us, we begin with zeal. But then along the way, when we apply it wrongly, sometimes we can become overly zealous, or we end up being zealous about it in a certain way. You end up with problems. Right? So he sees his enemies, they have forgotten about his word, and it resulted to him being zealous for the Lord. Now, along the way, zeal itself can end up on a wrong track. Now, my third question is, how can it end up wrong? How can zeal end up wrong? What are some of the problems that can cause us to end up with a wrong application of zeal? So hard to. Okay. What do you think? Anybody? Why? How can zeal end up wrong? Judgmental? Okay. In this context? Okay, so what has happened? Okay, let's not talk about the other party first. Let's talk about yourself. Sure. So what has happened? What has happened? When you are proud means you are focused on yourself. See, sometimes people become very zealous about something. They overstep themselves because the focus is no longer about God, but about themselves. Can you see that? It's about self. So he began caught up with himself. Can you see that? He began caught up with himself, and along the way, he was despised. You see, he started out being overzealous and the focus was himself. It was no longer upon the Lord. And something happened along the way. Okay? Now, what else is the problem here? When a person is zealous about himself. What is the problem here? Normally when people are zealous about something, and you know that they're not really right, what is the problem? Like? Neglect other things. Yeah, okay. They neglect other things. What else? You know what? A little knowledge is a very dangerous thing. Sometimes we become zealous over what little knowledge we have about something. So for the psalmist here, he had little knowledge. He didn't have a whole lot of knowledge. Yet he became zealous. And he applied it wrongly, like being judgmental or going against this group of people. Right? So a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. Sometimes people, they listen to a video, they watch this, they watch that, and then they end up, okay, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to. So there used to be a video that, you know, every time people go to university, they watch, I think when they study geography or something, they always watch this video about not eating meat. And after that, they don't want to eat meat. You know, things like that. People become zealous over things that they have no full understanding about. Okay? And the problem is a lot of people end up with just working with zeal. Nothing else. Okay? So that's where the problem is. Okay? You focus on yourself, not God. You end up with a little knowledge, and then you just work with zeal itself. Okay? And so for the psalmist, that's what happened. Along the way, he realized that he wasn't getting any headway. So what has happened was that along the way, he saw himself as more in the sight of the others. So people began to look down on him. He was despised by others. He was so-called being bullied by others. Okay? And this is most probably the wicked who look down on him. These people who have no regard for the word of God. Okay? And then along the way, we see that he was faced with trouble and anguish have overtaken me. So he was now feeling overwhelmed. Okay, despite whatever progress that he was making, he was now struggling again as a servant of God. See, the problem is that sometimes when we are caught up with zeal, is that we think that people will respect us for our zeal. When we are caught up with our zeal, sometimes we end up wanting people to think that, you know, to be respected by others because of our zeal. So along the way for the psalmist, the opposite happened. He was despised instead of being respected. Can you see the problem here? The problem was that he became zealous and he applied that zeal wrongly. And he ended up feeling overwhelmed again by what he was. He had a wrong, you know, he has his own perception of self. Can you see this problem of having zeal but applying that zeal wrongly? Okay? And you ended up with self rather than with God. And so along the way, God had to allow these problems to come and to temper him, to work, to continue to correct him. See, again, he needed to be corrected. So a lot of times, sometimes we end up with zeal. We get caught up with ourselves, whether it's service, whether it's doing something in, out in the world. And then we find that as we apply that zeal wrongly, we end up with problems, with opposition, the inability to carry on doing what we need to do. And we find that we end up with being despised by people instead, rather than to be respected. And can you see that? Okay, and it's a very common thing. Very common thing that I think perhaps some of us will come across. Because the self is so much a part of us. And when you look at the psalmist, you see self coming up in so many different forms. In one way or another. And every section you see the self coming up again and again and again. And this time is in the form of zeal. Right? Okay, any questions about this? You understand where I'm coming with this? Any questions you want to raise up? Yeah. Sure. So at the end of the day, how would you apply this? With reference to the uprightness of the Word of God. So at the end of the day, it's not about us. Right? We should always go back to the Word of God. Okay? And so that's what he did. He went back to the Word of God. He went back to... So when every time he faced with problems, he will always go back to the Word. Do not forget your precepts. Right? He mentions the idea of trouble and anguish has overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. So uprightness is something that you can discover. The uprightness of the Word of God is that at the end of the day, when you focus on the wrong thing, you're going to end up with problems. If you focus on self, you will end up with opposition. You're going to struggle. Right? Okay? But if you keep focusing on the Word of God, if you keep going back and focus on God, you will see the uprightness of His Word. That the Word of God is always true, is always faithful. Right? Let me try to explain this a bit more. You take a look. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. Where is that taken from? What's that all about? Okay, let's turn to Psalm 25. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 4, verse 45 first. In Deuteronomy 4 and in verse 45, these is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgment which Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt on this side of the Jordan, right? And this was the giving of the covenant. Okay, now you turn to Psalm 25, verse 10. In Psalm 25 and in verse 10, we read, "All the path of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." So the word testimony does not just refer to testimonies of people with reference to how God has been good to them. Testimonies is also with reference to the covenant of God And all the commandments that are stated there, if they are the blessings, you can testify. If you do them, they will testify of the goodness of the blessings of God. But if you do that which is wrong, they also testify against you with reference to the curses. Of course, this is with reference to the Old Testament covenant. Right? So the very word will testify against you. Right? It will testify of the goodness of the Lord's blessings in your life, but it also can testify against you with reference to the Lord's, of course, in that context, the Lord's curses that's upon them. Can you see that? This is with reference to the covenant of God. And to be able to see that is when you follow the word of God, when you do it the right way, when you keep the word of God, when you understand the word of God, and you focus on the Lord, you can see the uprightness of the word of God. You follow? Do you understand what I'm saying? Uprightness is basically something that you can see and experience that truly the word of God is one of, you know, it is honorable, it has integrity, it is something that is faithful. That's why he says it is very faithful. You follow? Okay, does that help you to see the difference between righteousness and uprightness? I mean, raise the questions if I need to explain it further. Sorry? Okay. I mean, continue. Raise the question. Do you understand, Vanessa? Number one, don't focus on self. Why did Elijah become depressed? Why did a powerful so-called prophet, man of God, call fire from heaven? When he prays, at my word, it will not rain, drought. Next moment he prayed, rain came. Such a powerful man of God, so-called. Why did he end up depressed? Why did he want to kill himself? Or rather, he tell God, please take my life. He said, I was very zealous for you, Lord. Why? Self. He ended up thinking about himself. He ended up thinking, I am all alone. I am the only prophet. I have done this for you. I am all alone. No one is with me. Take my life. I'd rather die. You know that passage? Okay, let's turn to 1 Kings 19, I think. So in 1 Kings 19, you see, one of the things that we want to learn is don't make wrong prayers before God. You see, he made a wrong prayer before God. His focus was wrong. His prayer was wrong. He said, it is enough, verse 4. It is enough now, Lord. He prayed that he might die. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Right? I quit. It is enough. I'm no better. You see, very often we all end up with focusing on ourselves when we think that we are no better than everybody else or others. Right? Why do we end up being depressed? When your boss scolds you, or you know, you did something that's not right, and then you get corrected, and then you feel, oh man, I'm no good. I'm lousy. right? And then we go on a pity party. You know, we have a pity party with three persons. Who the three persons? Yes, three persons. Yeah, we have a pity party. Right? I mean, that's so natural about us. We always think about ourselves. We end up thinking about ourselves. We end up focusing on ourselves. And that's where we always end up in trouble. Isn't it? Self. Self is the problem. I can tell you, this is one problem that's not going to go away easily. Don't take this lightly. This is one problem that's going to stay with you and eat you up if you're not careful. And you end up with, I want to die. Right? Recently, someone just told me about how there was this person whose wife suddenly passed away, had a heart attack. He has two children, teenagers or you know. But you know, for months, he just couldn't get out. It was tough. Right? And then finally, he took his life. See, mental problems today, you know. So when you look at Elijah, was he having a mental problem? Yeah. Even servants of God, you can end up like that. Of course, he's a prophet, different from the psalmist. But I'm just trying to say that even a prophet like him can become, you can apply zeal in a wrong way and then you end up with problems. When you focus on self. So if you ask me what is the number one problem today among servants of God, this one. Self. It's so strong. Why do people like to go off? You know, you look at so-called false teachers and people who are, they seem so zealous, like charismatic. You look at them, they are so zealous, right? I'm sure you all have friends who are charismatic, but they are so zealous. Wow, they are so, you know, on fire and they are so passionate. When I was in JC, when I was in the Air Force, there were people who were so zealous. You know, I would go on detachment and then they say, well, Pastor, you know, Mitch, you're a Christian. Well, you know what, tonight I just need to worship God in a powerful way. I need God to revitalize. And you play his music very loud. So this officer's bunk, you know, all of us. And he plays music around. Then he's singing. Then my friend going, what is this? Aren't you Christians? You know, what kind of Christian are you? I say, sorry, this is not your normal Christian. This one normal Christian, this one not normal. And you know, he will blast the Christian music so loud and then he will sing. And they are so zealous. When I was in JC, wow, you see these fellas that go to, you know, play guitar, they sing, they. 4 years later, when I saw them, all of them, we were having a dinner, a gathering, they all came and all of them stopped going to church. I said, what happened to you all? You know, now we got to experience the world. A little knowledge is a very dangerous thing. You have a little knowledge, you get all zealous. You go off on a tangent. A lot of people like to do that. They have a little knowledge. Oh, they get all fire. They're passionate about it. Okay, you know, I need to do this. And then they go off on a tangent. And then halfway through, hey, where am I? And then they fall. They crash and burn. Right? Am I right? It's very true. A lot of people are like that. Little knowledge. Wow, they get all right up. Wow. And then, boom, they fly. You know, they take off. And then halfway through, you know, like, what's that show? Superman. When he started flying, he jumped, he fly halfway. Then he fall down. Crash and burn. A lot of people. So that's the problem. Little knowledge. And that's why the psalmist had to learn. He had to learn that even though he kept praying for more knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge, seeking that knowledge, he realized he still did not have that knowledge. You know, this morning, I just wanted to read the scriptures. So I spent time reading Jeremiah. We're now 47. Five, six more chapters. That's it. Jeremiah 47. So I read from 40 to 47. Reviewed that house portion. Wow. And you know, the more I read it, the more I understand. The more I see, wow, it's truly an amazing book. I told myself, if I want to start reading Jeremiah, I'm going to finish it. Right? A lot of people, okay, let's do it, let's do it. Let me read through the Bible 1 year. Let me read through the Bible. What 1 year? I will read through the Bible. Do I read through the Bible 4 times in a year? We start, beginning of a year. We make all kinds of goals and, you know, New Year resolutions, and now it's October. How? Gone. Everything's gone. So end of the year come, since I cannot keep my New Year resolution, I will not make any. Then we end up with the extreme again. Then nothing gets done. Worse. You see, that's what we are. So the challenge is, to me, is don't focus on yourself. What's the most important thing to do? In this section, is for the psalmist, is for us. Is don't trust your own righteousness. Don't trust your own abilities. Trust God's righteousness. Trust God's word. God's word speaks the truth, right? Your word is truth. So from righteousness to uprightness, and then he sees the truth. Whoa, of the word of God. It is indeed pure. Your laws are very pure. Your word is very pure, right? In Psalm 11, I think. Okay. It talks about how the word of God is purified 7 times. Or is it? Okay, let's turn to 12. Sorry, Psalm 12. So in Psalm 12, it says, see, what is man? Man's righteousness. Look at man's righteousness. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. Right? So here's a godly man, but you know what? He's no longer godly. Right? For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. This is supposed to be a faithful man, but you know what? He's no longer faithful. That's the righteousness of man. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off their flattering lips, their tongue that speaks proud things. Wow, you know what? I can do this, I can do that. With my tongue, we will prevail. You know what? We can overcome. We can do this, we can do that. Right? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? In other words, the focus is self. I can do this, I can do that. Verse 5, for the oppression of the poor and the sighing of the needy, the Lord says, I will arise. I will rise up and I will help them. I will set him in safety for which he yearns. The word of the Lord. If the Lord says it, he will keep it. Man says it, very often they don't keep it. God says it, it is as good as done. It is founded. It is pure. It is righteous. It is upright. It is everlasting. There's no error at all. There's no unrighteousness. The words of the Lord are pure words, like fire tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. No error at all. 0 error. Purified 7 times. 7 is always the idea of perfection. Purified 7 times. In other words, there is no error. It is totally righteous and correct. It is pure. You shall keep them. You shall preserve them from generations forever. You know what? I'll focus on the word of God. My best bet in life is not myself. My best bet is to bet on God. It's to bet on the word. It's to bet on the righteousness of God. I don't trust myself, okay? I don't trust my own righteousness. I don't trust my own ways, my own ideas. I trust God. I don't focus on myself. Whatever little knowledge I have, you know what? I want to correct it. I want to gain more knowledge. I want to have a fuller understanding. You know, so I used to have understanding of Jeremiah here, there, a bit here, a bit there, more, you know, the more famous verse. We all love Jeremiah 31, you know, your love is an everlasting love. That's the only verse we all know from Jeremiah. But you know, there are 47 other chapters. So I decided, you know what? I want to see the whole thing. And you can see that along the way, so-called priests, servants of God, they were not faithful. Even Jeremiah along the way, wow, he was struggling. He was having a hard time. God had to rebuke him several times. Finally, then he was able to understand. Okay, that's my own way. This is your way, Lord. I understand now. The people I wanted to help, my very own people, they turned against me. They fought against me. They wanted to kill me. Little knowledge. Don't deal with zero. Right? Self. So again, we come back. You know, there are so many areas in our life that God needs to cleanse. And, you know, the danger is as you start work, as you work longer, as you are promoted, as you are paid more, as you see the world more, as you discover how so-called attractive the world is, you're going to suck into it. And once you get sucked into the world, you start thinking like the world. And you find that you begin to do all kinds of things that you never knew you. These were things that were wrong. And then, you know what? It's another world altogether. Another problem, another sin, another, you know what? New sins come up. Right? You're still studying, right? No more already. Just finish. Yeah, good for you. Now you see the real world. Okay, so what other questions? Raise them up. I mean, to me, this is for you all to raise up questions. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Can you see? Right? Self. You ask me, the biggest problem is self. we need to cleanse. We need to. And then, okay, anything you want to raise up? What do you think? Leon, anything you want to raise up? Jermaine? Matthias, any question? Do you understand where I'm coming from with this? What do you think? What's your response? Huh? You think you understand? Okay. What do you think? Okay. Yeah. That means even if you want to do God's work, even if it's something that is good, right, we can end up being wrong in focusing too much on these things and forgetting many other things. And part of the problem is that, you know, it's what little we know. My challenge to you all, if I were you, okay, say for example, if I can go back in time, how old are you? Okay, if I can go back 30 years, 29 years, if I can be your age again, you know what I'll do? You give me that one chance, okay? If I can go back to your day, I'll read the scripture. I'll read it every day. I'll go through it again and again and again and again until I know the Word of God. Because I'm doing it now because I understand how much I need that. Even as a Christian, I'm not even talking as a pastor. I'm talking being a Christian. I'll spend time reading it. I'll spend time learning. I'll spend time thinking. I'll spend time growing. Because you ask me, what is it that matters the last 29 years? What I've achieved? So what? I became a pilot. So what? I became a, you know, I was put on this high proficiency thing. They will, you know, advance you faster because you are so-called high HP. They call it a HP pilot. So what? What's the big deal? It doesn't matter. Who cares? None of these things really matter. Tell you what really matters. Knowledge. I wish I had more knowledge. I wish I would have spent more time reading the scriptures. I wish I would have maybe mastered Greek earlier than trying to still work with it after all this year. Partly, I don't have a good memory like some of you. But I don't put that as an excuse for me. Just because I'm not a good student like some of you, I don't have a good brain, I don't memorize things very quickly like some of you. But that is not an excuse for me not to work hard. So I'm going through some of the basics of Greek even now. I can use the language, I can understand it, but you know, I've not mastered the basics as I should. I wish I would have done it better. But you know, my focus was, when I was younger as a pastor, was ministry. I wanted to minister. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to reach out to people. But I realized that as I did these things, it would mean that I have less time reading and knowing the scriptures. So this 1 year of studying with someone I have been very, very good for me. Because, you know, besides preaching once in a while, here and there, leading, other than that, I don't have a lot more other responsibilities. And because I've spent so much time reading someone online, memorizing it, thinking through it, I now understand what it takes to be a good teacher. And this is just one ministry. There's so many others. Pastor has 10, 11, 12 ministries all going at the same time. I understand now how hard it is to actually teach the Word of God, preach the Word of God, live out the Word of God in your life. Because a teacher, a good teacher, is never just one who teaches. The best kind of teacher is the kind that shows it in his life. So I cannot tell you guys, read the scriptures if I'm not reading it. I cannot tell and teach you guys that, you know, to memorize the Word of God if I'm not memorizing. I'm still memorizing Psalm 119. Now we are 100 and, you know, we are at 100 and something, 44. Okay? I've attempted to memorize 144. But then along the way, you forget this, you forget that. So, okay, well, I have to consolidate. I have to keep going back to it again and again. And I'm really going to try. You know what? I'm going to try to finish Psalm 119. That is my hobby, okay? It's not required of anybody. That has become my hobby. You ask me, what is my hobby? Memorizing the Word of God. I really, really enjoy it. It's very challenging, but you know what? I love challenges. When I go on holiday, I tell you what's my challenge. Driving from one place to another. I love the challenge. When you fly in Europe, I was flying in Europe. When you drive in Europe, you are racing, it's like F1 like that. Right? And if you all drove in Europe, well, these guys are driving so fast. Well, you have to keep up with them. It's like F1. And I love it. You don't get to do that in Singapore. But you have to keep up with them. You don't keep up with them, well, they're going to honk at you and you know what? I love the challenge. And to me, my hobby is something challenging. My challenge is to memorize the Word. So you ask me, what would one thing I change if I were to go back to 26? I'll spend an hour at least a day just reading the scriptures. Just read. Chapters. If I'm not familiar with it, I'll read it. So I'm a bit more familiar now with Jeremiah. You know, I can tell you, chapter 1 to chapter 10, 11 to 20, 21 to 30, 31 to 40, 40 to 47. I can tell you what each part is about. Last time is, I don't know what's happening. But now I can tell you, okay, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what. What's the full story? Wow. So now God, in the later chapters, God is bringing judgment on Egypt, on the Philistines, and all the others. Not just Israel. So God is not just a God of Israel. God is also a God of all the other countries. Because they also sin. So God is going to bring judgment on Egypt as well. The battle of Gilgamesh. right, between God, between the Egypt and the Babylonians. Yeah, so you read, you see, then you, oh, okay. But later on, the Babylonians will destroy the Egyptians. The Egyptians will go and destroy the Philistines. But later on, the Babylonians will destroy the Egyptians. Oh, very funny. Very interesting. Can you see that? Right? So I'm going to encourage you. Two things, okay? Maybe three things. Take the time to read the scriptures. Right? Take the time to know the scriptures. Understand it. Not just little knowledge. Two, don't trust in yourself. Trust God and His Word. Trust the righteousness of God and His Word. The uprightness of His Word. Three, have the tenacity of spirit to keep up with your spiritual endeavors. Don't just give up. Just because along the way, you know, the psalmist, look at the psalmist, he had problems, he had trouble, he was anguished. But you know what? He kept at it. I will not forget your word. I will delight in your word. Give me understanding. Right? So there was this tenacity of spirit to keep going. Right? So take the time to read the scriptures, know the scriptures well. Two, don't trust in yourself, trust in God and His Word. And three, find that tenacity of spirit to keep going. Right? 144 verses to memorize. Not easy. But you know what? I kept at it. Every time I take the bus, I will memorize it. Every time on the MRT, I will memorize it. I kept at it. 6 months, I kept at it. No. 8 months. 9 months. Almost 9 months, I kept at it. And I'm going to finish it. Okay? Yeah, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for each lesson we can learn from someone like that. And even though the psalmist continues to struggle, this time with being zealous in the wrong way, we pray that you will also teach us not to be zealous with reference to focusing on ourselves, with, you know, being zealous with little knowledge. We pray, dear Father, that you will help us to truly increase our knowledge. Help us to take the time to read the scriptures, to take the time to memorize your word, to get to know you in a deeper way. We pray that you will help us to trust in you and not in ourselves. And we pray, dear Father, that you will give us the tenacity of spirit to have that love for your word, to keep at it again and again, to know your word and to remember them. We ask for your blessings. Help us to live our lives for you and to serve you. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.